now.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, and glad you could be with us on a Monday. Happy President's Day to you, XFL week number two. Right, I made the case earlier this morning. Look, it's fine. It's football. It's well run. It's put together nicely. The problem with this league is going to be two things. It can't compete in terms of getting quality quarterbacks, at least on for their level. Not quality quarterbacks from an NFL level, because those guys would be in the NFL. I mean, quality quarterbacks to play for eight teams that are decent enough. You might get one or two that are playing pretty well, but overall, it's been slim picking so far, again, at your most important position. The other thing is the nature of the athletes themselves. There isn't a real recognizable name that pops out that becomes must-watch television. Makes you go, I really want to see that guy play. There are two solutions to this for the XFL moving forward, and it's two that I think Oliver Luck is going to have to address. One, they like to keep player salaries in check. They don't want anything crazy and go off the board and are nuts. But if you can pay a little more and get a guy like Tim Tebow or Johnny Manziel to play in this league, is it worth the XFL to do that? Now, I'll tell you this. From personal experience, I worked with minor league basketball teams early in my career. I was probably in my late 20s. And one of the things that always made me cringe was when we would sign players on our team only because they had name recognition in the market. I was a little naive at the time, and I really believed that if you just put together the best possible team you could, that people would come and watch. Well, they didn't come and watch, and sometimes the teams we put together were really good. And what we ended up needing was to, like, when I lived in Las Vegas, we'd have to tap into some old UNLV players that could still play basketball because, you know what, they'd spend some time signing some autographs afterwards, and it made it all worthwhile. Does the XFL have to get that gimmicky? Where a Tebow or a Manziel or a Ocho Cinco or whatever that comes into this league to save it. But what about the name really nobody wants to talk about? Would he be compelling next?
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM and SB Nation Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Hit us up, Ron, with a day off today. Mike filling in. Doing a good job, too, on a President's Day, man. It's I don't know, working on a holiday is just tiring. When everybody else has got the day off and sleeping in, and you gotta work, you know, yawning and tired. And
I think we're both yawning.
Yeah, I know. It's just, you know, it's always extra on a Monday when it's a holiday and we're working, right?
Oh,
it's like working Labor Day or Memorial Day. It's just like, oh God, why do I feel more exhausted? Because everybody's sleeping in. Because everybody's talking about their 3-day weekend and where they're going. So, all right. So I was talking about the XFL, and listen, I like this product. I didn't watch as much of it in week two as I probably should have for a guy that is actually supporting their cause. But I said earlier, there is a problem, and the problem is that the quarterback play isn't all that good. And the fact is there's really no marketable stars yet. There might be, but not yet. Although PJ Walker could be one of them. Wouldn't that be cool? He's doing really good. Temple's own Matt Rule product.
First star in the XFL.
First star of the XFL for the Houston Roughnecks. They're off to a 2-0 start. So I said, look, if you're the XFL, do you try to convince Tim Tebow, for example, to come into your league? Hey, quit playing baseball. Come play for us for a little bit. You know, I mean, look, it's a name. People like you. People will like watching you. People might tune in to see you. You know, Johnny Manziel, the same thing. He's one of the more dynamic, fun quarterbacks in college football. So there are two things the XFL can do. It can go that route, where it can go find players that aren't in the NFL that have name recognition that can still do some stuff. Even if they're not great, even if they're not NFL level, they can still do enough to make you curious as to their what they're going to do and make you want to watch on Saturdays and Sundays and maybe even go see them when they come to your town. Or they can do what Oliver Luck is actually proposing, which is if you're a student athlete on the college campus, would you leave early to go play in the XFL for a year or two before you're eligible to be drafted by the NFL? So would you go to the XFL coming out of school like after your freshman year? If you realize college really isn't for me, college football is great and all, but I really wouldn't mind getting paid, even though that landscape is about to change. So what imagine if you had Trevor Lawrence, right? What would that be compelling enough for people if Trevor Lawrence, after winning the national championship for Clemson a year ago, said, you know what? I'm done. I did this. It's cool. It's great. But you know what? I'm heading off now to the XFL. I'm going to do that for a couple of years. And then as soon as I'm eligible to go into the NFL, that's what I'm going to do. But I think I'm going to go play professional football at 18 years old, 19 years old. All right. Now that's a possibility too. What about the name nobody really wants to talk about? Oliver Luck didn't want to talk about it when I interviewed him last week. Colin Kaepernick. Would Kaepernick be compelling enough for people to tune in, whether you loved him or really don't like him? Whether you support him or absolutely despise what he did when he was in the NFL? Didn't matter. One of the more polarizing athletes that we have in this country right now. Would he be a draw enough for the XFL to say, I don't know what he would bring in terms of attention. I don't know what he would bring in terms of controversy. I don't know what he would bring in terms of being a headache for the league or a problem for the league or whatever it is with advertising and sponsors and whatnot. But we do think people will tune in to see him. As human beings, we do have an attraction to things that make us angry. So if Kaepernick makes you angry, we do have this little innate thing to sort of go back to the thing that riles us up. You see this in politics all the time, right? Where, like, you might have a radio host that is expounding a political view, and you may go, oh, that guy, I can't stand listening to him. But you listen to him every day. Right? Or that guy, he writes for the New York Post, and I can't, he just is so wrong on these issues, but you read him all the time. We do have this attraction to that for whatever reason. I don't know why, but we do. Does Kaepernick make us go, for those who really just enjoy the fact that Kaepernick isn't playing football anymore, if he was on one of these teams, if he played for the New York Guardians, would you flipping through the channels, would you go, you know what, I just got to see this. I just got to see this. Or would it make you look at the XFL and say, I'm done. I don't want anything to do with you. That's the gamble it has to take. And I think that's why it was wise for Oliver Luck not to get into it when I asked him about it last week, because he had opened that door in an interview with NPR where he talked about how the salary demands for Kaepernick were too high. But in the follow-up to that, if the salary demands weren't high, would the league be interested in him in being on a team in the first place? Right? Well, he can't really say no because, you know, you don't want to get involved in any sort of potential lawsuit by denying somebody an opportunity of employment. But at the same time, would he make you watch? Like, what if you support Kaepernick? What if you thought kneeling for the anthem was a good thing? What if you thought his message was good? And you are angry that he's not getting a shot into the NFL, that he's not getting an opportunity to showcase his skills? Yeah, that would probably be probably something to watch. But is it too risky? And again, think about what the league is trying to do. Think about what the XFL is trying to get away from. And it's hard because it's not a good business model when you think about it. They're trying not to be gimmicky. They're trying not to do the one or two things out of the ordinary, right? What they want to do is they want to be legitimate. Like, they want to say, look, we know we're not NFL. We get it. We're not trying to be NFL. We're trying to be the best football we can. Of all the remaining players that are available to us, we're trying to give you football. And we're trying to give you the best football we can. So yeah, we do some things that, yeah, are a little gimmicky, but you know, yeah, we put a microphone in halftime. We let you in on the whole conversation when it comes to reviewing a ruling with video, right? You are going to see a little more access. For example, you're going to get to talk to, we're going to talk to the kicker as soon as he makes or misses a field goal. We're going to talk to players as soon as they come off the field. Like there's a little bit to that, but I wouldn't say that's gimmicky in a way that is like, let's sign this player who can't really play or is too old to play, but he'd be a good draw. Or a controversial player like Kaepernick that is just in it because he's controversial. He might be able to play on this level, but we're really using him for something more than his football skills. Right? They want to get away from trying to get you to tune in for something other than football, because none of us are really tuning in to hear the ESPN sideline reporter ask a kicker why he missed a field goal. You want to kind of watch the game and get that as elements to the game. But at the same time, look where it is. It's not great football. Even when you know it's not supposed to be great football, even when you get it, even when you understand, look, this is not the best of the best of the best, but it's something. The quarterback play has to be better. Look, when the Seattle Dragons have the ball with a minute 42 left, you should feel like they have a legitimate chance of going down the field and scoring a touchdown. You should feel like the quarterback is capable of leading them in a two-minute drill. Not overthrowing his receivers or missing routes or making bad decisions with the football, that he is capable enough, experienced enough to say, no, we're in pretty good hands. I'm good. We may not score, but my ability to get you down the field will not be questioned. I just may have failed on this attempt, but I still should be able to do it more times than not. I don't think the league is there yet. There's only a handful that are decent enough, and you need eight. I'm sorry, you're going to need eight. You know, we know the NFL, we got some teams that don't have very good quarterbacks, but I think the XFL needs eight halfway decent ones, and they don't have them. They only have a few. And that's going to be a problem. Because once the game is sloppy, people aren't going to tune in. We've lived. Here's the thing about the XFL. This is the one thing that I really hope it overcomes, but it is an obstacle in their way. But I do hope they overcome it. When I was talking to this with Oliver Luck last week, kind of brought it up. We say we have this desire for football after the Super Bowl, that we wish there was something else. We wish there was more football in some way, but we just don't turn into bad football. We don't tune into it. We don't want it. You know, it's got to be good. There's got to be a reason for us to tune in. There's got to be an entertainment aspect of the way it's played that is compelling enough for us. And it isn't. And yet you can embrace gambling. Yes, you can embrace the fact that we're going to have easier access to players and coaches. Yep, the transparency is there. All of these things are great. All of these things are good. But if you deliver to the American public bad quality, they're not going to tune in week in and week out, no matter what it is. Because we've lived a majority of our lives without spring football. We've lived, most of you have never even, maybe outside last year's AAFL, have never had spring football, except these last 2 years. You don't remember the USFL. When that was actually trying to be a legitimate league in competition with the NFL. I mean, they got Herschel Walker to play there. They poached Doug Flutie, a number of others. Steve Young started there. The XFL is not trying to do that. Like, the XFL isn't trying to convince Tua that he should play for them instead of the NFL. The USFL did. They did. They didn't look at tier two, tier three players. They were looking at tier one players. And so we've grown accustomed to Super Bowl ends. We've got a couple of weeks of college basketball, some NBA, blah, blah, blah. then the tournament, then baseball, then Masters, then NBA playoffs, then NFL draft. We're accustomed to that. We're used to it. The XFL comes in and says, no, 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 there's something else. We want you to enjoy this. And then we say, okay, great, great. But you need to entertain us. I hope they can down the weeks. But that's kind of the, you know, I think if they went after Kaepernick, I think it would be a mistake. Because I think Kaepernick would bring more noise to your league than you need. Right? It would be storyline after storyline after storyline about Kaepernick's, what he did in the NFL, rather than what he could do for you. And I don't think you would need that. Tim Tebow, that would be fine. Johnny Manziel, that would be fine. You might have some Manziel issues with how he flamed out in the NFL. Tebow, how he couldn't catch on. But I don't think it's not going to be as controversial as Kaepernick. If you signed Kaepernick because you think eyeballs would come to you, it wouldn't be for the right reason. You might get some good play from him, but you would never overcome how many people would want to tap into that story, what it means on a larger issue. And if you're the league, you'd get lost in that shuffle. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Again, Ron Culver out today as we continue along on a President's Day on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's O'Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O'Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? Sign up today online or in the store to take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free, but hurry, because double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every day. So Michael was telling me about this story, and I'm going to get more. I'll probably talk to Ron about it again tomorrow because he's really into soccer. But because of this Houston Astros cheating scandal, like, people are wondering, well, what's the appropriate punishment here? Like, please, you can't just fine them and then A.J. Hinch loses his job, Jeff Lidow loses his job, and the players get off scot-free, and, you know, like, there's no vacated title. Like, there, people want blood with the Astros. They really, like, now you're really starting to see it. Blah. There's, like, anger. People, like, you know, like King Kong and Fay Wray. Like, she's like, I can't control this beast. That's Major League Baseball. Oh. But, now, you were telling me what, Manchester United?
Manchester City.
I'm sorry. I forget Manchester United. Manchester City. They cheated, and they got kicked out of a tournament for the next 2 years?
Yeah, they can compete. They're still competing in the one this year, so they can't complete that one. But starting next season, they can't participate in it.
That's amazing!
For 2 years.
That's amazing! Now, is that similar to like the NCAA bowl ban for college football program?
Oh, yes, I believe so, yeah.
Is that kind of similar to that?
Yeah, similar to it.
See, people like, yeah, that's how they should do it. But you can't kick a Major League Baseball team out of the league for a period of time.
Yeah, and they also got fined 30 million euros.
Is that a lot of money? I'm thinking no for a club like that.
Not for them, since their owner is like from the Middle East.
Oh, sure.
So they have the oil money.
Right.
Yeah.
How much did Crane get fined for the Astros? $5 million?
$5 million.
Yeah, because he made like $60 million during his World Series. I read that. I saw that on Twitter where somebody said he got fined $5 million, but he made like $67 million like in that World Series run.
Yeah, he probably got $500 out of me for sure. Yeah,
probably, right? Of course. This is not going to be a good year, man. This is not going to be a good year. I think people are going to take their frustrations out on this team. I hate to say it, but want it to go away, but it's not.
And not just that. Imagine traveling fans.
Oh, forget it. You're right. Like, if you want to go on the road with your team for like a weekend or something, like, forget it. You're going to get lambasted for this. There is, you know what? You got to do what the Patriots did. Patriot fans, when they had Spygate back in, what, 06, 07? Yeah, it was 07. When they had Spygate and then this Deflategate nonsense from a couple of years ago, you just rally around the team. You're like, I don't care. It's us against the world. I don't care. You know, it's just whatever. That's whatever it is. Carlos Correa is emerging as an interesting factor in this because he's adamant that Jose Altuve did not cheat. He's adamant about this. Now, there are a couple of things that I saw over the weekend in reviewing this. One was somebody on Twitter pointed this out, which I think is very important, because there's a lot of people who are saying that Altuve crossed, like he hits the home run last year against Aroldis Chapman to win the ALCS. He's running around the bases. He's pointing to his jersey saying, don't tear off my jersey. And then people were saying that he ran right to the dugout after crossing home plate. That's not true. That's not true. He celebrated on the field for a good amount of time. But Correa's excuse for Altuve not wanting to take the jersey off was that he got a bad tattoo. He had a tattoo that wasn't really good. And nobody seems to be buying this, which is really an issue. Now, I said at the time, and I'll keep saying this, you're going to have to show me evidence that Jose Altuve was wearing a buzzer for me to believe it. I'm not saying he didn't, and I'm not saying he did. I'm not going to go down the road of he did. I won't until I see evidence. That is a huge accusation to make against one of the more likable, fun, and talented players in the game. I think his story is great. I think the way he plays the game is great. I like him a lot. You're going to have to show me evidence that he did do this and he was wearing a buzzer for me to believe it. It is a little fishy that he didn't want the jersey taken off, whatever the reason is, bad tattoo, wife didn't like it, whatever the reason. It's a little weird. I get it. He's celebrating a fact. Listen, if I get a home run off Aroldis Chapman to win the ALCS, I might cross the plate naked. Okay. I might be ripping off my clothes. I was so excited. He's trying to protect a jersey when he just sent the Astros to the World Series. It's a little weird, but I'm not ready to go down that hole yet. I'm not ready to go down that rabbit hole yet because I don't like the way we do that sometimes where we just kind of go, yeah, he must have because these are, I'm not happy with the way this looks. And again, I understand, but Correa was very adamant about this. Now here's why people shouldn't just jump in and say, Correa said it, so I believe it. That settles it for me, you know, to use an old Sunday school line. I would protect Jose Altuve too if I was an Astro. All right? I would protect his legacy too. And if that meant deflecting, if that meant stretching the truth, heck, if that meant outright lying, I might do that. He's that important. He's important to the city. He's important to the fan base. Like I said earlier, his story is uplifting. Again, how he showed up as a young kid. They told him he was too young. He showed up again. And he became a major league star. Right? All of these things. Right? His relationship with J.J. Watt is Houston icons in that city is awesome. Like, I'll never forget it. The next day after Altuve hit that home run, that J.J. Watt showed up for his game wearing an Altuve shirt. Like, the next day. Like, those are cool things when you're in a city. That's cool when the sports teams cross root for each other. Right? Where, you know, you might go to a Celtics game and, you know, Celtics players wearing a Brady jersey in warmups because they're just supporting the Patriots. Whatever it may be. I like those stories. And if I was a member of the Astros, I might do that too. I might protect him too. So listen, I'm not saying that again. I won't go down that road of saying he did do this. I don't know. But the whole thing is not good for baseball. It's not good for the sport. It's not good for the Astros. It's gotten worse. You, Manfred knew he wasn't going to sweep it under the rug, but my goodness, the apologies that are not apologies, that are almost obligation policy apologies, are not making this story any more digestible to the American public. If anything, it seems like every day more and more people are angry, more and more people want some sort of justice. They don't know how that looks.
You You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Again, President's Day. Happy President's Day to all of you. Guys, you know, manscaping can hurt. It really can. But that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The engineering team, 18 months, they've been perfecting the greatest hair trimmer ever created and just released the new improved Lawnmower 3.0. This is the third generation trimmer. It features a cutting edge ceramic blade that prevents manscaping accidents because, listen, like I said, it can hurt and this will prevent those accidents. Those are now a thing of the past. It's premium. This battery is going to last up to 90 minutes. You can take a longer shave. One of the coolest features, the LED light. It illuminates the grooming area for closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. And the charging station, you show this thing off loud and proud because it's intelligently designed and it's rapid charging. It's powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak right now, you could be one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product and to get this experience firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SBNation at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping. SBNation at manscaped.com. Your balls are going to thank you. SB Nation at manscaped.com. All right, Cleveland Cavaliers could be done with John Beilein. That was quick. Wow. Left a good deal at, you know, good job at Michigan, consistently putting the Wolverines in positions to be competitive in the Big Ten, win national championships, tried his hand at the NBA. Unfortunately, the hand he was dealt was one of the worst teams in the NBA, and he's not really adapting to the game all that well. The Athletic is reporting that Beilein could be out, was trying to negotiate a deal for the at the All-Star break, but it looks like he'll just close out the season and be done. The report says Cavaliers coach John Beilein is not expected to remain as the head coach beyond the end of the season. League and team sources have told The Athletic the terms of the separation and the exact timing of it are not yet known, but momentum is building towards his exit. Several factors have come into play, always like this, around the Cavaliers and Beilein in regards to his job position leading to a potential end of his tenure before the end of his five-year contract he signed in May. Heck, end of a five-year contract? Are you kidding me? It's like he's like 6 months on the job, including the team's on and off-court struggles and the personal toll his son Patrick Beilein's resignation at Niagara in October has taken on him, league sources say. There's also that incident where he misspoke and called them thugs instead of slugs. I mean, there's all sorts of mess. I mean, who knows? It's too bad. I like Beilein. I liked him when he was at West Virginia. I like him, liked him more when he was at Michigan. Did a really good job. Again, had Michigan in the Final Four championship game against Villanova just not that long ago, like 2 years ago. And now, you know, listen, and here's the thing. When you get to a certain age, like, it's funny because you get to a certain age and there's either two things are going to happen to you. Like, you realize that your lot in life or your what you're good at, you just stay with it. You don't want to try new things. You're comfortable in what you want to do, and that's really it. And then there's sometimes you want to say, look, where can I take this? I'm not getting any younger, and I always envisioned what it would be like to get to the next level or get to the professional level, and I want to give it a try. Beilein may just be one of those people that realized, whoa, I'm out. I'm done. No, I'm not. I don't want to deal with people who make money doing this. I don't want to deal with people who, you know, who's living is on this. I tried. I couldn't do it. I had a system. It works in college. It doesn't work in this league. I now know. So I'll go back to the college game. Thanks. Who knows what the reason is behind it? It just didn't work. Now, what's interesting is, does Beilein try his hand at another NBA gig? I don't know who'd hire him, but does he like it enough just with the wrong team? Does he say, oh, no, I don't have a problem with this. I like it, actually. I like dealing with, you know, more adults. I like the structure of it. I like the season. I like the arenas. I like the stars. I mean, I'm good with this. I just don't like it here. This isn't working here, but I don't mind going and taking my my coaching talent somewhere else. I just don't think you've built enough of a resume. But, you know, here's the other thing. Because, and again, it all kind of interweaves, doesn't it? Let's say Beilein's just having trouble relating to people who get paid for a living to do this. Well, he's going to go back to a college game where they're going to get paid for a living to do this. in a couple of years when these student athletes are going to be able to make money off their image and likeness. It's a whole different ball of wax when it comes to recruiting. It's going to be a whole different world. And I'm wondering how coaches are going to adapt to this. Really, I am. I'm really curious. And you know what? I couldn't care less if they struggle. I think this is a long time coming. I'm glad it's coming, but I don't care if the old guard in the college athletic world is struggling dealing with the demands of today's student athletes. They've had their way with these student athletes for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And now the tables might get turned where a student athlete's like, yeah, I'd like to know what my opportunities are off the field, off the court to make some income. And you got to negotiate that. You got to help, like, oh, yeah, well, we got people here. We'll help you with that. It's just going to be, I'm just telling you right now, it's going to be interesting to see. It's a whole new world. It really is. It's kind of sad, too, because, like I wanted Beeline to be successful because I think it was a cool leap of faith to see somebody. No, he's not, he's not old, but he's not young either. You know, he's been around a while. And just to see him take that leap of faith, like, I think I could do this. This isn't like some 35-year-old coach. Like, remember when Brad Stevens went to the Celtics? I was all for that. I just didn't think Brad Stevens was going to be all that awesome, and I was wrong about that. I thought Brad Stevens would be a great placeholder for the Celtics because Ainge was rebuilding, and I thought, all right, Brad Stevens is perfect for that. He's perfect. He'll coach for a while. He'll get used to the NBA. He'll have some failures. He'll have some successes, but he'll grow from all of them. And then, when the Celtics build their team up to something where they could be competitive enough for championship games, maybe they let him go and they bring in somebody more seasoned. Oh boy, was I wrong. Now Brad Stevens is one of the better coaches in the NBA. So I took that mindset into Beeline and I said, I would love to see Beeline be successful. Now I knew the Cavaliers, success with the Cavaliers, with the way their roster was built, was going to be totally different than what Brad Stevens was trying to do in Boston. Like, he wasn't going to turn the Cavaliers into an Eastern Conference powerhouse overnight. But I did like the fact that he was like, you know what? I have a comfort zone, and I'm going to step out of that comfort zone, and I'm going to try it. But I'm not doing it at 35, 37. I'm not young. I'm setting my ways, but I'm willing to change and see how this will work. But nothing has worked. They're terrible. They're like 14 and 40, right? I mean, they got Kevin Love, but that's it. And he traded for Andre Drummond. Colin Sexton has been all right, but they don't have much. And college is a grind. Absolutely. No question about it. It's a grind. And the recruiting is tough, and it's just going to get tougher. But it's not, when it's not working in the NBA, man, it's hard to get up. It's hard to get these games going. Especially when you're on the road, the team's losing, and there's nothing in the future. Like, think about this for a second. If you're Beeline and you got a terrible team, and you know the team is bad, you're just going through the motions trying to get them to be better in some capacity. And you're trying to take little successes as much as you possibly can, right? But think about Steve Kerr. What is Steve Kerr doing? Like, Steve Kerr's team is atrocious, but Steve Kerr's team doesn't have Klay Thompson and doesn't have Klay, and Steph Curry on a nightly basis. They don't have the same, Splash Brothers that they used to. They don't have those things. So what is Curry doing? Well, Curry is knowing a couple of things about his future. He knows he's getting those guys healthy next year. Everything's going to be rolling fine. He's looking at his team and who can play for the Warriors next year when we're all good to go and we have a lottery pick and we are going to be a force in the Western Conference again. Who today on this team can I put with the guys that are not playing, anymore, that are not playing as much, right? That's a great situation because he knows the future is bright. This is just a down year. This is where injuries plagued you. What was Beeline coaching for? What was Beeline coaching for his, what was he looking at? How was he assessing the future of the Cleveland Cavaliers? He was just trying to get through the season. Can we win 25 games? Maybe. I don't know. Can we? I don't know. And that's got to be hard. Especially 2 years ago, they were playing Villanova for the national championship. It's driving you nuts. You're at the largest stage. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Even though Ron's got the day off today, I'm sure he'd love to hear from you. Even though he's home, watching his kids, because they have the day off on President's Day. He'll be back tomorrow, but maybe not. Maybe he'll enjoy being Mr. Dad and be like, yeah, maybe I'll be around. Ah, the kids go back to school. All right, when we come back, we'll get to your tweets coming up on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. And this hour of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How great is that? Michael on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Do you wonder if ESPN and Fox Sports would put pressure on the XFL not taking college stars because of their wealthy TV contracts with the NCAA? Personally, I think the XFL should partner with the NFL as a developmental league. All right, there's a couple of thoughts about this. One, you have 2 points on this, Michael. One, I think you're right in the very beginning. I wonder if they would do that too. I mean, look, we know that college football is a passion-driven sport by the teams, by the people that root for them, but they also need to broaden that appeal too, because you can't, like, if you have Alabama taking on Texas A&M on CBS or even a night game on ESPN, whatever it is, you have to find a way to market that game beyond the two fan bases. And the stars of the college football world are the reasons that you tune in. I have no reason to watch Clemson except when they play South Carolina, but I will watch Trevor Lawrence play. I'm very curious about Trevor Lawrence plays. Same thing with Alabama. I like SEC football. I'll watch Alabama anyway, but if I lived in Michigan, I might watch Alabama because of Tua. I might watch Alabama because of Derrick Henry when he played there back in the day. I might watch him when it was, when they had great, defense or whatever. Yeah, there are players that I would watch. I remember Tebow. I lived in Colorado when Tebow was storming through college football, and people in Colorado couldn't get enough of him. People literally in Big 12 country at the time, before the Buffaloes moved to the Pac-12, it was Big 12 country, right? It was about Texas. It was about Oklahoma. It was about the Buffaloes. It was about Baylor. And people couldn't get enough of Tebow when he was there because Tebow was the big star, and they loved him. Look. And we have a college football, Reggie Bush. I mean, you could go through the whole list of stars that have been must-see players. Yeah, I could see that. Now, the XFL is a development league for the NFL. Yes, but here's the thing. Does the NFL want a development league? Does the NFL want a developmental league? Does it need one? Because when you say partner with the NFL, would the NFL be willing to spend millions and millions of dollars on something right now they don't have to spend millions and millions of dollars on? Now, I know people say all the time, they have billions, billions, billions of dollars. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you'd spend it on things you don't need, right? I mean, it just isn't. I mean, look at, rich people don't buy things they don't need. I mean, they might buy stuff just for the fun of it, but, you don't see Mark Cuban going out and buying a horse and buggy just because he was like, what the heck? I might as well just have one. Like, he's just like, no, I'll buy a car that drives itself. Right. Like, so I don't know if the NFL would want to have a development league. I don't know if it needs one. Right. You feel like the league already has practice squads. There's, they're pretty good at evaluating talent. If they find you, like, let's say, Michael, you're a really good up-and-coming linebacker that needs seasoning. They'll just put you on the practice squad and work on you in-house so that you can try to make the roster down the road. But with all the players coming into the league, I mean, because here's the thing about a developmental league. You'd have to be so invested in a player that you would want to enhance their growth, right? Like, I want to take him in the fifth round of the draft. I like him. He may not be ready, but I need to put him somewhere so he can develop as a player. You can pretty much find it in-house. But If I'm the XFL, and this is where I agree with your point, if I'm the XFL, I still pursue it. Because if I can get backing from the league where the NFL is in partnership with us and we are working and we are moving players, you know, like during the season, you may get a taste of Mike Smith, right? And he might be like a fine running back, but he just needs a little bit more work. Then you might find a little home in the XFL where he doesn't play a full season, because who wants to do that kind of wear and tear? But he might be there enough games because he got two or three games in the NFL season and then he went to the XFL to try to polish some things out. Maybe that would work. I agree. If I'm the XFL, I'm on this all the time. The AAF tried really desperately to do this. They really did. They just couldn't land it. The XFL's got some meat here. I think they've got a really good organization. They seem really well run. They've got good TV contracts. You know, it looks like this league is going to make it. It's well funded. I think the checks are going to clear at least for the first year, and then we'll see. But I think if they can partner up with the NFL in some capacity, even if they don't get the millions of dollars from the NFL, but they get just the institutional support, you might be on to something. All right, that's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Happy President's Day to all of you as we continue along in this morning. At Tony D Radio is where you can hit us up on Twitter. Again, it's as we continue along, we'll talk more about the XFL weekend and this cheating scandal that's just not going to go away for the Astros and Major League Baseball. It's all coming up. Ron Culver out today. Tony D alongside on SB Nation AM.